Good morning. Welcome to Faith Springs Baptist Church. We appreciate you being online and just welcome to the program and church this morning. We got a little, I guess the parking lot's just full of hundreds of people trying to get in, right? With this nasty weather we're experiencing. We're going to sing a few songs. We're going to get into God's Word. We're going to find out what's going on in life. And this is one of those messages that I wish I had 3 hours to preach, but I won't. Hey, how are you? Come on in, guys. Hi. Go ahead and talk amongst yourselves online. I'm just waving at all the people. Hi, how are you, man? You want to make sure you have a piece of paper, a journal, or something, because there's going to be a lot of notes, a lot of scripture on how to start building a good foundation for a good year for you. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Let's sing some songs first. If I drop over, Curtis, there's a sermon right there. You can take over. Okay, right there. Well, let's get some lively ones going so we can all get awake. Here we go. There's power in the blood. Oh, would you be free from the burden?
Great things he hath done, so the
So if you haven't got one, do you want one? If you do, raise your hand and we'll get somebody to hand you one. Nobody wants one. Oh, well, okay. They're free. I mean, I don't know what the problem is. Welcome to church this morning. We have some people on the prayer list we just want you to always remember. And I think Carol Wells is still in the hospital, so just keep lifting her up. Is she still? Did you know if Carol's still in the hospital?
She's home
now? Okay. We'll just keep praying for Carol and all the others that's on the prayer list. That's the reason we have these out, so for you guys to lift them up in prayer and pray for my son, because I have no idea where he's going. And I think that's it. We're pretty well. If you haven't, I'm going to ask you, and I always say this, but nobody listens to me. Please try to stay out of the building. They're doing the floors now in the entryway, in the sanctuary, in the fellowship hall, and they're polishing all those. We don't need your muddy footprints all over the place just to see what you think it looks like. Nor do I need your comments yet until it's done. But anyway, that's beside the point. But please stay out of there. And that entrance over here is really already muddy. And we just put new tile down. And if it gets too wet and too muddy and everything, I don't want that tile coming up before it has a chance to set and stuff. So if you can, if you think I'm talking about you, I am. Okay, so that means you. So whoever you think you are, just try to stay out of there. That'll help. And I think it's going to be another week or so. They thought it was going to be a few more days longer than they anticipated. They're going to do the entryway. They're going to do the kitchen too. And it's going to be I don't even want to tell you. It's going to be a surprise. It's going to be fun. And looking forward to it. But keep helping and praying. And it seems like every issue that we have in the building is just a battle. And I know God's got something so far great for us that he wants to accomplish. But boy, everybody's pulling out the stops to try to get it to not happen. But we're getting there. So please, if you can honor that, I would appreciate it. We'll try to get in there, maybe take some pictures when it's where you can see what the difference is in the floor, and then we'll send them out in an email or so in a week or two so everybody can kind of get a gander on it, especially what's muddy. Just for your safety, it's better just to stay out of there. So, okay, let's have the – is there any other announcements I'm missing, anything else? Okay, go ahead. The ushers come forward and – appreciate all the prayers, all the calls, all the texts and everything. Everything's fine. I haven't heard anything. When I hear something, I'll let everybody know. But I don't know anything. So if you don't know nothing, Jerry, nothing you get excited about. That's all I ignorance is bliss. And that's been my motto for my entire life. So all righty. Jerry Perez, I'm going to ask for you, if you would, sir, just bless the offering. God bless you as you give and all the ministries they go to. May they just go to help enlarge and get the word of God, not only in the community, but around the world. So thank you, Jerry.
God, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the moment, the opportunity, Father, that you give us, all that you bless us with. And we take this prayer request, this, Father God, before you. The request of many, the needs of many, Father, you lay it before your feet, Father God. You know our hearts, you know our minds. And Lord, we just ask that you take these offerings, Father, that you have blessed us with. And may they be used, Father, to honor your kingdom, Father. We ask, Father, this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Was y'all singing? Because I couldn't hear nothing. It won't be long before we'll be able to get the hymnals back out. Of course, in the other place, we'll have the hymnals plus the words up on the screen. Four of the hymns, and yes, we will have hymns over there too. So. Everybody doing okay? Just looking to see who showed up late.
Not me.
You on time today?
I was.
Wow. Rapture's going to happen sometime this week. Connie was on time. Let me get a drink here and then we'll get started. You know, I had, I don't know how many emails and texts and of people wanting me to comment on what's going on in the world. Let me make it very clear. That's not the purpose of our church. Our church is letting you know where the safe salvation is and the hope is in Jesus Christ through what's going on in our world. Because let's be honest, if you want my opinion, I don't. Because I don't know, and you don't know. There's so much stuff going on. I had a vaccine yesterday, my second vaccine. So now, on the way out, I said, so how long is it before I'm immune? Oh, they don't know. But, well, thanks for the two shots. So I appreciate it. Good seeing you. God bless. They don't know. And you get on the CDC and try to figure out, is it good for this? And what happens? You know, nobody knows anything about anything about anything. And I think there's a scripture, and I don't have it with me, I wish is maybe somebody else back there, but Philip Plummer would jumped on this. Wasn't it Paul that said, I don't know anything except Christ crucified? I think that's the platform that I want to go from in life, because I really don't know anything in life, and there's no guarantees. And I really think if we take what we're going to talk about today, apply it to our lives, we won't get caught following the wrong things, putting values in the wrong places. We'll understand where our priorities ought to be. And this is kind of a good New Year's, 2021 to get into. If you want to get into your Bibles, and if you want to, we're going to be all over the Word. So make sure you write these down. This is going to be something that you're going to be able to use, I promise you. And this excites me. Most of the time when I get excited about my own words, you usually sleep. But this excites me because this is what I needed to hear. So we're in Matthew. We're going to start there. We're going to be all over the Word. Matthew chapter 7. Go ahead and find that while you're finding that. Tonight's show, we have Cheryl Price on. She's from the UK that just has moved from the UK. She's an author and moved to Canada. So we'll have a huge Canadian office and UK office audience tonight. She wrote a book and talks about trauma, stress. The city of Boston gave me some recognition and I'll bring it when I get it, a proclamation for helping the city and their workers and to learn about trauma and stress and anxiety. And this week, I think I have 6 workshops. The new year is starting up and everybody's getting back into it. So we're going to be busy this week. But if you want to listen to the show tonight, Breaking the Silence, would love to have you on there. So that would be great. If you haven't found Matthew 7, get help. But if you're there, say, oh, yeah. Okay, good. Okay, never know. Now, in reality, nobody wants to fail in life, don't we all? I mean, I can look at the young ones and the teenagers, and we all want to succeed in something. We all want to find something that we're good at and succeed at. Nobody starts out in this life journey with failure being the goal. I can't wait until I actually get there so I know I failed. We just don't do that. But we soon discover that life is a lot harder than we ever anticipated. And I think some of us, as we look at our lives and you're 50-some years old and you go, boy, I never thought I'd be in this position at this point in my life. Some of you that are in your 70s or 80s or 90s and you're still working and you didn't think you'd be working. You thought you'd be off into the Bahamas enjoying life. And you think, wow, this wasn't what I shot for. And success isn't easy. But I want to show you what each of us need in our tool belt of life. So if you want to write that down, tool belt for life, that's what we're going to talk about the next few weeks. I'm hoping to be able to get through this one today. If we don't wear out, we'll hopefully make it through. There's only 4 points, so I should be able to do that. But we're going to talk about the first thing that we need in our life. We need values. We have to have values as the foundation of our life. Let me tell you, I want to promise you that if you follow anybody but Jesus Christ, one day you'll be embarrassed by them. One day you'll be hiding in the corner going, uh-oh, I didn't know, I didn't want you to know that I really liked them. One day you're going to be disappointed. So anytime, and that includes me, please, good night, you know that includes me. Don't look up to me. Jesus is the only one, and I promise you this, that will never let you down, that you'll never be ashamed of, you'll never be embarrassed about, that you'll never have to second guess. I wonder if he didn't, was in his wrong mind at that point. No, he is always the same, and he's that foundation that we need. And we have to have our values built on that. And we got 4 values that I really want us to build our life on this year. And this is kind of my goal for 2021, not resolutions, because you know what we think about those. But first one is I want to have my value of obedience based on God's word. I don't want to be obedient to anything else in life but God's word. Tell me that I have to follow you. And I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do that. I'll be the first one to go, I'll show you, I'll make sure I don't do that. But when it comes to God's word, that has to be our foundation. Our values have to be on him and it, okay? So it says in Matthew 7:24, find that, write it down, listen to the words of Jesus. Value obedience to God's word. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes like today or like it did the other night, boy, it just stormed downtown Houston. Comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house. It won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. It's not built on anything else, not polls, not political parties, not religious people. I don't know if you heard this week, but we had another religious leader fall in the most unbelievable way. And he just died. Ravi Zacharias, that is probably was one of the most well-known, prominent, respected biblical teachers that's on KHCB all the time. They had just found out that he went to the massage parlor that his church owned twice a week and did things. And the ministry is completely over. They pulled everything off the air, the books off the... It's like, what in the world are we doing? We're following the wrong thing. And it has to be built on God and his word, or people will let you down. Deacons will let you down. Trustees will let you down. Sunday school teachers, even though they have great hearts, we don't mean to and don't anticipate it, but we're human. We're going to let you down. The only thing that won't, the only person that won't, is God and his word. I promise you that. And it says, though the rain comes in torrents and floodwaters rise and the winds just beat against the house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and don't obey it is a fool. I didn't say it. Get mad at God. if you hear it and don't do it, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with us? Because we all fall into that category. Well, see, it's, well, that doesn't mean me right now. That means after I retire. Doesn't obey it is foolish. That's just like a person who builds his house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Now, God's word is not a rule book that restricts your life to make you unsuccessful. It's a life book on how to be successful even though and even through the storms of life. And I'm looking out at people and know what some of you have gone through the last few months, last few years, ever since I've known you, which is now going on, I believe, about 10 years, 19 years, something like that. My anniversary at Baylor is, I think, next week, 10th anniversary, being there. It's a life book on how to be successful even during and through the storms of life. So I would love to be able to stand up here or set up here, whichever is best, and say, you know, 2021 is going to be a lot better than 2020. I promise you. But I do want to promise you that God's word will get you through those storms just like he did in 2020. We survived it. We made it. We never thought we could. And some of you are still damaged. But I want to let you know that God's word is that one value that we have to have as our foundation. And I realize that a lot of people use the Bible to make other people feel guilty, to condemn them, to use it to manipulate them. If this has been your experiences, I can't begin to tell you how sorry I am for you, because that's not the purpose of God's word. Never. And it's not the heart of Jesus Christ. God wants you to win at life. Many years before Jesus, God told Joshua, all the way back, and write it down, Joshua 1:8, the leader of Israel at the time, that he says, Joshua, I got a key to success just for you. And it goes like this, Joshua 1:8, study this book of instruction continually. Not on Sundays, not just when we bring Wednesday nights back, but continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything that's in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. That's the key to life. That's the key to success. We don't need to all jump into a big charter bus and drive to Las Vegas to watch the next Tony Robbins seminar of how to be successful and pay $999 for a two-day event. So then when at the end of it, you can walk across hot coals in your bare feet. You've made it in life if you can do that. Well, I think you're pretty stupid if you even think about it to begin with. I can't imagine anybody wanting to do that. We don't need that. It says right here, save your money, save the trip, save all the success books, and read his. And if you do and obey it continually and meditate and do what it says, it is the key to success. It is essential that we look at the word of God as the instruction manual of life. Why? We live in God's world. We live in God's creation. So why wouldn't we want the one that created it tell us how to be successful in it? Thinking about getting a new car. I don't know. Kind of makes you twitch, you know. I don't want to go to that car dealer, you know. But, you know, let's say we go out and we all go out and buy an Infiniti. But on the way home, I'm going to drop by the Ford plant or the Ford dealership and pick up their instruction book for a Ford Camry. Ford Camry? No, Toyota Camry. A Ford Escort to use on that Infiniti. wouldn't make sense. You would use the instruction book of the ones that created it, would you not? The manual. So that's how, if you want to be successful in the creation that God gave us, then we need to get in God's word and have that be our foundation. And folks, nothing else can be the foundation. We have put our priorities on so many other things. It has to be on God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is inspired by God. All scripture is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what's right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. That's the purpose of God's word, right there. It comes with an instruction manual, and we need that down as our foundation. Another scripture to write down, James 1:25. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, and don't forget what you've heard, then God's going to bless you for doing it. Mm-hmm. That's a promise. That's a promise. I can sit up here and say, I promise you, that building's going to be done next Sunday by this time. You going to believe me? Mm-hmm. No, because I broke your promise time after time after time after time after time after time. I got scars on my back after time after time. And I don't even want to promise anymore because I have no idea. I just want to live until it opens, and then you can have my funeral in there. And but God's promises never let you down. So if it says, if you listen to it and you do it, you will succeed. That's a promise that you need to hang on to. Build your life on that. Now, this is life-changing, so huddle up, okay? Better get a drink. Huddle up. I'm sorry if the kolaches were bad this morning. Somebody told me the kolaches were bad. I didn't make them, so I just buy them. This is life-changing. Blessing is a result of following, not just believing. That's life-changing. Obedience equals blessing. How many of you have this as an unshakable value to build your life on? I'm going to build my life on God's word. It's not enough to believe it. My middle brother that's dead now told me time after time after time, Greg, I could be closer to your God on the lake fishing on Sunday morning any day of the week. I believe there's a God. I believe in that. But he never had one iota of anything in him that was obedience of doing it. There's an obedience to it. You have to not only believe, but you have to obey it. You have to understand that there's a principle here. You have to do it. And that's a value we have to have in our life. Are you willing? $64,000 question. Are you willing to submit your life, your lifestyle choices, to the obedience of God's word? Are you willing to do that? Or do you, like some people do, oh, I will up to a point until it starts meddling in my life, until it starts stepping on my toes, and then I'm going to back away and go, not me. Hey, I give you enough money. I drop a 20 in the plate every week. But to be obedient and put what, a tithe? Are you kidding? You have any idea, Greg, how much I make? You know what 10% of that is? That's not my rule. I didn't make it. Had nothing to do with it. But I know J.C. Penney ended up giving so much of his salary back. He gave up 90% of his income every year. That's how he built the mega huge business that he had. He kept giving and giving because you can't outgive God, and finds out a little bit of obedience will bring unbelievable amount of blessings. Are you willing to make all your lifestyle choices built on the Word of God? That's enough for the first one. Value God's Word. Two, value people over things. This one hits me between the eyes. Because as a father, when my sons were growing up, I thought working 20 hours a day was the way to do it. To make sure I could swing by and buy all the toys they wanted and walk in and throw it to them and say, have fun, kids, and then go back out and go to work. But it was about their life, not the material things I could buy. Because now they're all over the country, and I can't even get them to come and see me all at one time. It's hard, isn't it, Curtis, to get anybody to come down? And you wonder what kind of memories you make. You have to value people over things. Because we live in a very materialistic culture. Please hear me, that there's nothing evil or wrong with money, possessions, or wealth. Our issue is when we value those things above our relationships. That's when it makes a difference. Mark 12:31. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No commandment is greater than this. God wants us to value others above everything. Colossians 3:14. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. You notice how that verse starts off? Above all, above everything, love. When in doubt, love. Above all qualities, we are to prioritize loving others. Why? Because God's a relational being. And I don't believe you can be fully in God's perfect will without being a part of God's family. You're not going to hammer that and try to make people feel guilty. That's not the way I do it. But I think you have to be part of God's family, because God has churches around to show us how to practice for heaven. Because if you don't like being with people, you're going to be miserable in heaven. Especially if you're right next to the Pentecostals. And they're just shouting and hooping and hollering and having a good time. We got to learn how to get along with each other. And we got to value people over things. There's four ways to do that. I'll do it real quick. I'm losing some of you, but that's all right. I lose you three most of the time anyway. Four ways we value others. We value others by the time we spend. No one feels valued if time is not invested in the relationship. Time equals love. We have this all the time, do we not? Oh, I was too busy. I didn't have the time. You had the time. You just chose not to give it to the person that needed it. And I don't want... I'm editing myself as I go. That way Don don't have to on BBS Radio. Veronica, when I got the call from you, there was nothing more important in my life, at my work, at the hospital, than to be there with you and your family. Nothing. I didn't even know you. I didn't even know your family. But it's the love that comes from God's word of saying, wait, which is more important? Pushing that piece of paper on my desk over somebody that's going to be hired 6 months from now, or to go show somebody God's love and their unconditional love in one of the hardest days of their life. And they're here worshiping with us now. That's what it's all about. Time equals love. That's how you love people. Second thing is we value others by the words we use. Do our words build people up or they tear them down? Our whole culture ought to understand the importance of words right now. And if anybody ever talks down to your daughters, they're going to have to go through you and me next, because you're not talking to these beautiful girls like that. And if you guys ever date a guy that talks down to you, pity the poor fool, because it ain't happening. But we have this happen all the time. We allow people to degrade us, talk down to our kids, and then we get involved and talk down to our husbands or our spouses or the bosses talk down to our employees, and they don't even care about their emotions or feelings anymore. Folks, it's different than that. We need to show love. We have to show love. We value by the time. We value by the words we use. We value others by the understanding that we have. If you don't feel understood, you don't feel valued. We talked about this. The loudest person in the meetings when there's a meeting that breaks out in anger is usually the person that doesn't feel heard for the last 6 months. And they're going to feel heard no matter what. And they're going to do whatever it takes to get your attention. Sometimes your kids do the exact same thing. Not your kids, but parents that we know. They don't feel valued. They'll do something to get your attention. And it's important that we value others by understanding them. And we value others by the memories we make. Not a lot of good memories when I raised you. But the memories that I remember is when it was raining out, we go out and play in the mud. Walk around in the puddles and the ditches and take your shoes and socks off and enjoy that. Playing baseball in the side yard, hour after hour after hour. Those are the things like, wow, that's memories. I've never heard a person on their dying bed saying, I wish I spent more time at the office. And I wish I hadn't spent more time at the office. Well, I'll do one more and then we'll go. Then we'll pick up the rest of it next week. And we'll do this quick because it's about money. We value generosity over greed. Generosity can't be something we do just when we have enough. Ouch. Proverbs 11:25. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds is going to get a pretty small crop. But the one who plants generously is going to get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. I don't think I heard anybody laughing when the offering plates went by. I heard a few moans. Oh, no amens, just oh me. So, oh no, here we go. But wouldn't it be neat? I get to give to God today. I get to show him how much I love him, not only in the words I sing about, not only getting together and studying and hearing his word being preached, but also to give back to him. God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with other people. Wow. 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. Generosity will protect you. It's the protection policy on you to become a greedy person every time. Last scripture, and I'll shut her down. 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Some people crave money, have wandered from the true faith, and pierce themselves with many sorrows. We need to build our life on generosity. I heard this somewhere, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and you can look it up on the internet when you get back to the house. But I believe Jesus taught more on money than he did on anything else in his entire ministry. There must be a key to that. There must be something that if we value that too much, it'll come up and break the rest of who we are. And it ends up getting us out of focus to where we ought to be with him. Let's just hammer the first two. Are you building your life on God's word? And you putting people over things? We'll talk about the other two. We'll talk about that next week. Don't not come because money's the next point, but we'll hit that thoroughly. But just those two. I can't think of a better thing to start 2021 being foundational with God's word. That being the value that we have in our tool belt. The first thing I'll always do is take it through the filter of his word. And if it goes through the filter, I'll do it. If it doesn't, like the coffee grounds when I was making coffee this morning, all the coffee grounds that didn't go through, you pitch it because it's trash. If it goes through here and it says it's okay, then do it. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you as we enter into a new year. Lord, it gives us an opportunity to readjust, refocus. Lord, to really understand what our life's built on. I know I've been guilty of building on so many wrong things. But Lord, may I bring that value back to your word and not only believe it, but to be obedient to it. Or show me how to do that. Show us how to do that. Show us how to fall in love with the word more than we ever have this year. And show us how to love each other more than anything that we have in our world. We give you all the praise and all the glory in advance of what you're going to do this year in our lives and in our church. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you all for coming today. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today on Faith Springs Live. We'll see you next Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Central Time.